from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs.
This welcome back to Locked On, Locked On Chiefs. Folks, Chiefs podcast. We have a full crew again tonight, and you know, I'm kind of enjoying this because tonight, and by the time you hear this, certainly everyone should be Team Ryan, because you're going to hear Team Seth and Team Chris go at it, and I don't have to be involved. So now, before we get to the arguments at hand, which I, of course, will find very interesting and humorous to listen to, there is news. On Wednesday, the Chiefs decided to part ways with old friend and longtime Chief running back Charcandrick West. He's had a rough preseason with the concussion protocol. He did just return to practice, but so did Damian Williams. And as we've been telling you for the last couple of weeks, Charcandrick's been in trouble with Damian Williams on the roster because they play the same role. That third down back job has gone to Damian Williams at this point, and Charcandrick is out there. Like Andy Reid likes to say, he has an opportunity and a head start at landing on another team, not during the frenzy that's going to come from the single-day cutdown that the NFL has now employed, which just makes it unbearable to try and get with a number of teams. So he's a veteran. He's somewhat healthy. He's out there on the market again, and hopefully he can find a landing spot. They appreciate what he's done, and he's been a good teammate. He's a guy that is good to have in the locker room, has a positive attitude and positive influence on the rest of the offense. Unfortunately, when that's your biggest attribute, it's hard to make a football team. He is behind the curve, both as the running back in terms of carrying the ball, but even his bread and butter, which has been the pass game and pass protection to this point, he finds himself falling behind Damian Williams. So the writing's been on the wall, and now it's come to pass. So we will cross our fingers for him, and we'll move on to today's discussion between the forces that be. Welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining us. Fellas, how are you tonight?
Nobody likes a fence sitter, Ryan. This is all the more reason to be on Team Seth, because I'm willing to take a stand, unlike Ryan, who's just there.
You will now call me Switzerland.
Without the chocolate or the guns.
Oh, but I want the chocolate.
Yeah, I know. I didn't make that decision for you. I mean, I kind of did, but, you know, other than that. I'm doing well. How about you, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm not looking forward to the butt-kicking contest that is about to take shape here, because I am a little less prepared than you are, since you have watched the film and I have not.
How about this? I don't get to use the word film.
Ooh, I like that one hand behind your back.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm going to take three steps back and we'll start this. I had to do that. I missed that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it, because, you know, we talked about it beforehand. You know, we were split, Chris and I, and lo and behold, Chiefs have a new quarterback. And I will say this, Orlando Scandrick's got to get in on this field in game three. They got to see what they got, like, ASAP.
Yes.
And I know you guys don't necessarily agree on where he was starting. We'll find out where he ends up once he hits the field. But Chris, what was your reservation about signing it?
Personally, I just think it kicks the young guys down and maybe kicks a younger guy off the roster. I didn't think he played well last year. Obviously, I haven't gone back and watched the tape. Seth has. So I will take my lumps on that one. But for me, really, it comes down to, I don't think he was as good as he has been in the past, and I never thought he was a great cornerback to begin with. And then you add into the fact that he's now been cut from two teams in, 8 months?
Right.
And he was cut from the Redskins so younger guys could play, which is exactly what he's coming here to basically assure doesn't happen in Kansas City. So,
right. Well, we know, I'll tell you what, the Washington cut definitely concerns me too, right? I mean, that's weird, because they lost Kendall Fuller, and you'd think it would be a pretty natural thing. They lost their slot corner. People think that Scandrick's best fit might be slot, so it kind of makes sense that he would go there. But then they just like their young guys. One thing with Washington is we know they love the corners that they have, right? That's why they're willing to trade Kendall Fuller, who, hey, side note, how good is Kendall Fuller looking?
Oof.
Wow, that was a weird noise. Anyway, Here's what I would say with Skandrick. I think I wouldn't call this a panic move because, you know, they were looking to sign him Breland. So we know they've been looking at adding a corner for a while. But, you know, with Nelson down to injury, I think it just really reveals. And Amerson's been getting picked on a little bit.
It's like somebody told everyone.
Now, wait a second. I have to ask this question because this is something I saw you put out on Twitter, I think Monday. You said something about the fact that zone coverage has really been hurt with the two inside linebackers that have been playing.
Yes.
Do you disagree that Amerson wasn't necessarily completely at fault for some of those plays, considering not only the inside linebackers missing, but the safeties are laid over the top?
I would say that he's not responsible for all the defensive failures that we had. Like, for example, that first, that third and long conversion where, I mean, everything went right, you know, they'd flushed Ryan out of the pocket and then Oligwe or Smith, depending on who you ask, I think it was Oligwe, just completely blew his zone assignment and left this wide open tight end for Ryan to throw to.
Yep.
Now, that obviously isn't on Amerson, but the two bigger completions that he had, and I think it was the second drive, those just looked like him getting whooped. And I don't know. Now, again, these are just, they're very limited snaps, very small sample size. Amerson has been better in practice and in training camp than I expected. So I'm willing to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. But here's one thing that I will say. Oh, and okay, I can't use the word that I was going to use. Looking at last year, it appears that last year Skandrick was, by my eye, a significantly better player than Amerson was last year. And at this point, we don't need him to be good. We need him to not suck.
There is a difference.
There's a huge
so
difference.
You basically didn't use the word you told me you wouldn't use, but you basically said the same thing anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. That sounds like sour grapes from someone who didn't watch the tape. See, I didn't say I didn't say
yeah. Yeah. For anybody that's curious as to what I'm referring to, Seth said he would not use the word film, and he's already basically said that exact phrase two different times in the past couple of seconds. So
you sound bitter, Chris.
I'm not bitter.
So
I'm used to being Trust me, I am used to having many people against what I say. That's not a big deal. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
And I
specified this when I started. I did not watch the film.
Right. So
I just don't like – sorry. Let me finish. I just don't like bringing in a 31-year-old corner to replace a young guy that I think has an opportunity to actually do something in the future for this team. And if he gets to play early, I think he could be good enough to be – that guy at the end of the season.
Who's this?
But if he doesn't play early, Tre'Mont Smith.
Oh, you're a big Smith guy, huh?
No, I'm just saying, as a top four corner, yeah, I think he should be able to play top four.
See, I think if there were going to be anyone, I think it would be Springs, not Smith. But here again, I've only watched them in limited action here. And I do think both of them have talent.
Wait, clarify. What do you mean
about
Springs?
Getting some run.
Oh, okay.
You before mean, Smith.
Like, before
yes.
Smith.
But I'm not – I mean, that's just that's just an idle thing, having looked at them a little bit. Both of them look solid from what I'm seeing. I mean, they both look like they're doing pretty well. I guess for me, I don't know if there's time. They got – the Chiefs have a window right now. And to me, if he can – if Skandrick can outplay either of those young guys this year, that's who I want on the field. I tend to take a development view of in this way. Yes, guys can develop more on the field, but they can develop in practice. Now, the things with quarterback, it's a little different, in my opinion. Quarterback is something that really you need some game experience, but at the same time, practice is going to make you better. So, you know, if Tre'Mont Smith or Springs or whoever is going to be kind of that dude down the road, I don't think not playing this year is really going to hinder that too awful much, whereas it might hinder the defense. And so I just don't know if it really pushes them down that far, and I don't really know if it holds them back. And just an interesting side note, I'll use a numbers argument. So I reviewed only three games of Skandrick. And in those games, he was targeted 14 times. He gave up 7 catches for 41 yards. No touchdowns. That's not bad, right? 50% completion rate, 41 yards, short completions. Now, part of that's because he was playing in the slot. Amerson. Yes,
were all 2017 games.
Yep, I didn't want to give him the same advantage that I gave to Amerson by going back to past years, because I think that's part of why I might have overestimated Amerson. Now, to be fair, you guys remember me saying, he might be okay. Like, that's been my position with Amerson. Here's the thing. With Amerson in 5 games, now that's 2 more games, don't get me wrong, he gave up 21 catches for 441 yards. I mean, so in 2 more games, he gave up 10 times the yardage. So what I noticed with Amerson is when he loses bad. Whereas Skandrick, he's got a little bit of recovery speed in him. He's got smoother hips. He's a much better run defender, much better tackler. I think he's just a better overall player. Now, we'll see what happens again, because he lacks quickness at this point. And so and that rarely gets better every year.
Well, argument aside, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about the specific scenarios that had me thinking about this veteran versus young athletic guy kind of scenario. We'll come right back. We'll talk A's and B's. Well, let me put it to you guys this way, because this is where my concern is and why I thought the veteran was worth bringing in. Obviously, Tre'Von Smith is quicker, more athletic, better long speed, whole 9 yards, but the experience factor. So here's the 2 scenarios, and I just give me the name you guys want over the other for each of these. First off, Keenan Allen and Phillip Rivers.
Chris?
Honestly, at this point, I don't know. If you're talking, are you talking Amerson or Skandrick? Are you talking about, who are you talking?
Skandrick or Smith?
Finkel
Skandrick
is or Smith.
This is a week
Finkel.
One matchup.
Sorry.
Easy now. Later there.
At this point, I guess Skandrick, but again, I haven't seen him play, so
I am all
I
about
know Seth
Skandrick.
Agrees with you there. So he,
but here's my biggest issue, and this is something I wanted to say earlier. My biggest issue is, what does Kansas City have on their roster for corner after this year? One name.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. I think it's got to go one game at a time. And because honestly, where Skandrick is, if Tre'Von Smith can catch up to his athleticism with his skill set, I think he'll pass Skandrick during the season.
That's, you can develop those skills in practice. And so I want you. You got to remember,
practice.
While developing guys is important, that is what practice is for. I mean, again, the one exception to this, in my opinion, where I think it's game reps and practice. There's a huge, huge, huge difference. There's a difference at every position. Quarterback, there's a massive difference. Besides quarterback, I think you can hone all the skills you need in practice. So that's why my position here is a little different than my position was with Mahomes last year, right? So I definitely want Skandrick in there, at least as far as everything I know right now. Now we'll see if he's lost another step, because then that could be some pretty bad news Bears.
Well, the other question becomes is, where is he going to play? Because if he doesn't have quickness and he's been playing in the slot, how does that translate to him playing for the Chiefs? Because we know he's not going to play in the slot with Kendall Fuller.
Fortunately, he played slot and boundary last year. Yeah. He played a ton of snaps. The game games he was healthy, he played like – and that's another thing to remember. Last year was easily his worst year as a pro. He did struggle with some injuries. And so he played most games where he played at least like 90% of the snaps.
Well, there's other question marks. And as we get ready for this game 3 of the preseason, mm-hmm. the most important week of this preseason, there's still other questions to answer, including Sammy Watkins. We got to get to him. So let's take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of the other question marks.
I don't want to.
I tease Sammy Watkins because I'm getting nervous. I know, right?
Please, sir.
Eat pudding and be happy. It's like, I said this, I think I was, I can't remember which show it was this week, but I talked to somebody. And the thing about Sammy is, you know, it's learning the little details. It's learning to put the dot the I's and cross the T's and come back to the ball in the end zone, that kind of thing. Clearly, Andy Reid referred to some of his miscues as learning options. And I think that's great. But I think I know how I feel. Let's start with Seth this time. How do you feel about what Sammy Watkins is putting on film right now?
Well, it's impossible to really gauge the film very well because there's no all 22. But, I mean, he did make a few kind of plays against the Falcons. Obviously, like, so what Andy Reid referred to, it's a learning experience. He didn't come back to the ball or to come back to the quarterback on that potential pick in the red zone. Here's my thing. I understand that's a learning experience, but Watkins has been in the league for a while. And that's the kind of mistake I don't expect a third or fourth year wide receiver to make. You know what I mean? Regardless of learning the system, because that's not a learning the system mistake. That's a basic fundamental aspect of wide receiver play. Now, again, we can talk about whether Mahomes should have made that throw. I'm not sure he should have, but I'm 99% sure he was expecting Watkins to come back up for it. So I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Someone really made the very cogent point that, you know, his hip was bothering him recently. And so maybe that's the issue, but I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
Well, I'm a little concerned as well. It's questionable to see what is going on right now. I'm not exactly sure how things are going to end up with Sammy Watkins with the way he's played the first couple of weeks. Not getting any targets week one didn't really bother me. There wasn't enough snaps. Week two, he got targeted several times, and although the ball that I'm thinking of that he had his best chance to catch was the one that was thrown behind him, that's a catch that I would expect him to make, especially with all the talk about him being a real fingertip-type catcher, to where he gets all 10 of those fingertips on the ball and has a better chance to catch the ball, you would think he would bring something like that in, and he didn't. So I definitely think there's concern there. Now, the other side of that coin is Mahomes has had time with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce before this season. I do think that there is a timing aspect to the game that maybe they're just not there yet. You would hope that that changes quickly, but you know, we've also seen that wide receivers have a tough time adapting to an Andy Reid offense. And we obviously have to hope that that is not going to be an issue, but at this point, you know, it's not out of the question.
So I think you guys both make good points, and I'm kind of like right in the middle because, honestly, I don't care what's gone on the last 2 weeks. Right now, it's right about now. Week three is the most important step they can take in this preseason because Sammy's not going to play hardly at all come week four. So what I want to know from you guys is it a number of catches? Is it doing the little things? What's most important you see from Sammy Watkins in game three of the preseason?
I just want to see him get a little bit involved. It looked like they were trying to get him involved in this last game. Didn't quite work out. Now, to be fair, one of those is Mahomes' fault, right? I mean, that he did stare down Watkins, and I bet you anything we won't see that same mistake. Bet we won't. Yeah. But, you know, he stared him down. And, you know, that one off the back hip, that's a tough catch, and I get it. But I just want to see him get a catch or two. The reality is Watkins doesn't need to be great this year to really help the offense out. But crap, it would kind of suck if he wasn't good, considering the amount of money they're paying him and how good DeMarcus Robinson has looked so far in preseason.
Chris, anything in particular?
You say that, and the question I would almost ponder is how worried do you have to be about Chris Conley? I know they paid Watkins a lot of money. I get that. I'm not trying to take away from that at all. But Chris Conley hasn't even been targeted, I don't think, in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't think he has. I mean, to be fair, again, you're talking not too many snaps. The offense as a whole hasn't found a groove. Although, you know, it's funny because we talk about the offense not finding a groove. If it weren't for that penalty, they would have put up touchdowns on, what, 2 out of 3 drives?
Yep. Well, and the other question I would have is how much different is – Are we talking about Watkins if Mahomes is able to hit him for that big touchdown in game one?
Exactly. And that's the thing. One big play is all it's going to take. He hits Watkins deep one time within the first couple of weeks of the season starting. No one's going to care.
Yeah. I'm concerned about it. I'm not overly concerned about it. Mahomes, and Seth, you pointed this out as well on that touchdown that got called back. It looked like Kareem Hunt was the third read.
Yep.
You know, Mahomes has got to figure out how to distribute the ball, and Reed's got to be partially responsible for that as well. Yep. So in my opinion, I think all of the big guys in the offense are going to get the ball, and they'll get the ball plenty. They'll get their names and numbers called. The question is just how is it going to work out? And the other side of it is you look at week one, I don't know that his number was called. I mean, even on that last play where he had an opportunity to be hit down the field, I don't know that that was designed for him, a designed deep throw to him.
Yeah. I personally want to see in this offense this year fewer designed plays, because I think Mahomes can work well outside of design. I want to see a lot more. All right, here's your reads. Not designed for any one particular guy. Throw it to who's open. I want to see more of that.
You know, and I think Pat talked about that post game as well. After that big throw, it was just kind of a side note when he answered one of the other questions. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm just always looking for that big play."
Yeah, he is.
And that's, I mean, that's so Favre-like. It kind of gave me a little shiver.
Yeah, it is awfully Favre-like. He's got a lot of moxie to him, and he's got a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And as long as he's able to – thank you, Seth. And as long as he is able to learn from his mistakes like what he had in that interception, which it showed – I mean, it seemed like he learned from his mistake from week one to week two when it came to running into a sack. So you would assume he'll learn from this one as well. As long as he can do that, it doesn't really matter to me if he throws, you know, a couple of picks early on in the season, because he's going to learn from it. And you have to expect that from a guy of his starting experience.
In college, you don't need to look off that safety. It's too much ground to cover. In the pros, you got to look off that safety. And so one thing he's going to have to get used to doing is starting off with his eyes lying. You know, people can and have said a lot of things about Alex Smith, but one thing he did well is he held safeties with his eyes.
So pretty, well, eyes.
The other side of that is, do you really think that if he puts that throw on a rope, it has a better chance of completion?
Yes.
I mean, the way he floated that ball, he gave the safety all the time in the world.
He did. I mean, that was an attempt to just put one up there and let Watkins make a play. And I right. get that. I respect that. I think they're trying to get him involved. I think Travis Kelce is going to go for about 1,200, 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns this year. I think he's going to go off.
Whew,
and the other question I would have then is it possible that Mahomes just didn't see the safety to begin with?
I don't know. Unless he thought it was zero, you know, coverage. I mean, there'd be no reason for him to not think there was at least a safety over the top.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the only one we need to talk about either. We have to see some things from a few other, if not guys, at least positions. And I want to know in particular, Seth, your take on the young guys, Breeland Speaks and Tano Passanio, because I'm not seeing enough get home at this point.
Yeah, they didn't stand out to me when I watched the game, and I'm going to, you know, of course, go back. I think I'm going to review Speaks this week. That's something that'll be important to me. Take a look at his snaps. I never had high hopes for Speaks. I think Tano looks like he's moving pretty well. And after watching Ford's run defense, I'm kind of over it. I'm ready for that experiment to be done. And so, I didn't see, like you said, there's not a lot of get home. There was some pressure, but there wasn't, there wasn't a lot of get home. So you want to see more, you know, you don't want Brandon Whedon driving down the field on you. Now, to be fair, they were already swapping out a bunch of guys, but some of those guys that were in were passing you and Speaks. And I mean, crud, if you're going to help out the pass rush this year, this would be a good time to see it. And so I'm a little worried still about the pass rush. I do think Chris Jones is going to have a monster year. I think he's going to be ridiculous. He looks so good right now.
Yeah, but that's the same thing we had last season. Jones and Houston. And
they got to have more for sure. I think Jones looks better than he was last year. But again, I mean, it won't – the effect – will be either minimalized because of everyone else, or it'll be maximized because they get a little help.
Chris, I know I saw at least Dee Ford set the edge in the run game once fairly well. Are you optimistic more than Seth and I are, or are you done with it too?
Well, my personal opinion is if Dee Ford would have been healthy, that they would have probably voided his guarantee and let him go. And maybe I'm completely off base on that, but I don't see – they continue to force something that they don't have a choice anymore at this point. If they don't play him and they let Speaks and Passanio play, it shows that they know they whiffed on him. And maybe that's going to end up being what happens throughout the season. You know, Seth, you mentioned on Twitter as well, I think on Monday, that we saw Houston on the other side of the ball from where he normally is. And Ryan and I talked about this a little bit. And you're right. I mean, there's not enough snaps to really know whether or not that's a permanent thing or if it was just something they were trying. But to me, you don't move Justin Houston to the other side of the ball because for multiple reasons, but mainly because most teams like to run to the right side anyway because the right tackle is weaker, that is usually their best right run blocker. And I think that's going to be a horrible thing for Kansas City if that is something they're going to do.
Yeah, I have
all
no
year.
Idea. I don't. I think they talk about moving him around and stuff. I don't know. And then also, I understand they want Dee Ford where he's comfortable, but you put your superstar where he's most comfortable, right? Now, Houston can do it from wherever, yep, but you put your superstar where he's most comfortable, and then you fill in the rest, unless Houston says there's no difference to him.
Well, but the other side of that is, yes, you put him in his best position, but the other side of it is that he can stop the run and he can plug that side of the field. And that's such a big thing. I mean, with all the teams wanting to run that direction anyway, I mean, all they're going to do is flip where they're running against Kansas City. Houston can usually set the edge on just about every single play.
Right.
He's phenomenal with that. He really does not.
Arguably, he does run defense arguably than any other defender does anything in the NFL. But we'll just have to wait and see. I'm very curious what it'll look like against the Bears. You know, that's the beauty of preseason. All of this, we'll see what it looks like. You know, last year the Chiefs' offense looked like crap throughout most of preseason. Then they came out and they just blew the doors off against New England, you know?
Well, that's the other thing that turn around.
That's the other thing I wonder about Watkins is how much are they holding back?
Hopefully.
I'm still concerned about one other position. Let's take another break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about why I'm twitchy about the safety still. But honestly, I mean, you guys know me more than most. I've been in Eric Murray's back pocket, if not in his corner. And I like the kid. I think he's left alone to play a free safety role. I think he can pull that off. It doesn't seem that Bob wants to do that. And I am a guy that was very low on Liam McQuay before last week. I saw him do a couple of good things. I saw him miss a couple of things. Chris, where are you on them as the safety tandem right now?
I think it's the weakest position on the roster behind Eric Berry.
I would concur with that.
Because I don't see anybody else, and maybe Murray is capable of playing free safety. I'm not saying he's not, but they don't seem to be comfortable with him there. And if you're not going to put him there, I don't trust Leon McQuay to be the free safety. And, you know, right now you don't even know, and as much as I hate saying this, you don't even know what you have with Eric Berry. Maybe the team knows, but I don't think they even know. The question isn't whether or not he's going to play week one to me, because I think he's going to. The question is whether or not he's going to survive
week
three.
Right. No, that's
and I
fine.
Hate saying that.
I think
Sorry.
I do think Armani Watts, by my eye, with what little you can tell without all 22, I think Armani Watts looks better than McQuay. McQuay was noticeably out of position a few times.
Well, okay, but here's my question on that. Armani Watts did look noticeably better, in my opinion, as well. But don't you have to take into account level of competition? Because wasn't he playing against threes and fours?
Armani Watts, he did play against threes and fours most of the game, but last week he started. And so, I mean, we've had an opportunity to see him against multiple types of competition. And again, and no matter who you're playing, being in the wrong spot is being in the wrong spot. And so I saw McQuay out of position way too much. I thought he was out of, I mean, he was out of position on, I mean, one of the touchdowns I think was on him. I'm almost certain. And he just looked a tick slow to get over when one of the times that Amerson got beat. I haven't seen a lot from him. I know a lot of Chiefs fans have high hopes. I'm not sure I share those hopes. I think they're based off a couple of flashes and then him being an unknown because he kept getting hurt.
Well, my big thing is if Eric Berry doesn't play, maybe they can do all right week one. But week two, the Steelers are going to run four verts at them all day. And they are going to stress those safeties out. And it has me concerned.
Well, and it should have you concerned. I think it should have everybody concerned. I honestly think that even with where their salary cap is right now, I think you try to make a move for the safety that just got released from the Bengals. And I don't know what it's going to take.
At this point, folks, when we're recording, he hasn't signed yet.
They'd have to move some stuff around.
Right.
It could be done.
I don't know that they would have to move that much. It just depends on what they think. I mean, with what the safety market got this year, I'm not sure
they'd
have to move that much.
That's tied up in incentives, so they got to keep it free, based on what I was told. But I agree that the safety market's soft. But I think, you know, if you're going to do something like that, I do think you might have to cut someone loose because I think there'll be a market for them. But yeah, the safety market's so weird. Who knows?
I guess we'll just have to find out. Well, folks, thank you for hanging out with us today. This is where we're at right now. Tomorrow we're going to actually take the game plan show to the next step as we're getting ready for the regular season. They are going to Soldiers Field to play the Bears and old pal Matt Nagy and Chase Daniel. And who else is over there that we know? I don't know.
I'm sure there's a multiple. Bunch of them.
But we will be back for you. We will have an extra episode after the game this Saturday night. Knock on wood, if I get to actually see it live like I should be able to. So thanks for sticking with us today. Make sure you hit the Locked On Chiefs Twitter account. You know, throw some hashtag Team Ryan's at Seth's account, please.
Oh,
that'd be great.
By the way, I am going to interrupt you because I have to say this. A big thank you to all of you listeners that whenever Peter Schrager has mentioned Patrick Mahomes has told him he needed to come on the show because he did say that.
Much obliged.
So appreciate that.
If you missed
that,
you got to go listen to that show from Tuesday.
Yep.
Gentlemen, I bid you a good evening. And folks, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube. Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.